Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jiao wee vee va kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core, poor nation. In a cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA. Home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are just 3 weekends away from the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Yes, LA goes vegan March 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. We start on Friday, March 20th, which is the first day of spring. Time for a new beginning. And it is time for a new beginning in animal advocacy, time for a new beginning in peace and social justice advocacy, time for a new beginning in health advocacy, child advocacy, environmental advocacy. And that's just what will be happening at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. The world needs just that advocacy at this time. And with that new beginning, it's time to discard and reject the tired policies of the past. Those who in the past have claimed to represent animals have lost their direction, their vitality, and their relevance in the present. Meat out from Farm USA is one such glaring example. Farm has given this 30-year campaign a facelift, new graphics, new logo, but it cannot mask that Meat Out has atrophied. It has heart problems. There's something wrong right now. It's outdated. How 20th century, huh? Meat Out publicity is just being released. I'm seeing it. And Farm is celebrating Meat Out's 30th anniversary. Well, just recently on this radio program, we released the audio of the president of the American Egg Board celebrating the highest sales of eggs in 30 years. Coincidence, huh? As that chicken-killing eggman made that announcement, he thanked Meatless Mondays for boosting egg sales to record highs. The public interprets meatless to mean dairy and eggs. The public does not interpret meatless to mean vegan. It's our job to educate the public on that. And there's no reason to believe that the public thinks any differently about Meat Out. The first day of spring, one day a year promotion that asks people not to eat meat. And presumably, those people on Meat Out will be eating dairy and eggs as substitutes again. Farm also sends out a Meat Out Monday alert every Monday. And I urge Farm to end these campaigns that are proving to be harmful to animals. I urge Farm USA to end Meat Out and its Meatless Monday campaign or Meat Out Monday campaign. I urge all animal advocates to end their support and involvement in Meat Out and Meatless Mondays. you know, you're only creating dairy and egg Mondays. I have done so to the Meatless Monday pages on Facebook, to the at Meatless Mondays and hashtags of Meatless Mondays on Twitter. The Meatless Monday people have responded saying both that they are promoting veganism in their Meatless Monday campaigns and other hashtag or people responded by saying they just want people to not eat meat on Mondays, so they post vegan and vegetarian recipes. And if by vegetarian they mean dairy and eggs are okay, then they are promoting meaningless Mondays. You know, what's the point, right? If, you know, you're a dairy and egg-consuming vegetarian, you may as well eat steak and wings because there is no difference whatsoever between you and a meat eater, except maybe your attitude of superiority, thinking that you're actually doing something, but you're not. The dairy and egg industries have successfully hijacked and compromised the word vegetarian, as they have what currently purports to be the animal rights movement. The terms that used to signify the compromise of that word, that vegetarian word, lacto-vegetarian, lacto-ovo-vegetarian, those prefixes have been dropped. Prefaces? Prefaces? Would that be the Latin? So now, the corrupt word is the definition. So, may I take your order, sir? Yes, I'm a vegetarian, so I'll have a cheese omelet and a glass of cow's milk, please. So, I mean, sucking trans species mammary secretions and eating embryonic vaginal excretions accomplish nothing. Even if you feel good about yourself, the animals don't feel so good about it. Same suffering, you know, same torture, mutilation, confinement, murder. Same health problems for you, same environmental devastation for all of us. I should correct myself. Technically, you're not eating chicken vaginal droppings. Eggs actually exit from an orifice called the cloaca. Poop also exits from the cloaca. So tend to wonder which is the healthier secretion there. Anyway, so instead of vegetarian, perhaps you should consider yourself a cloaca mammarian. That would be a better term, right? A cloaca mammarian. Or a vegetarian. Notice how the self-proclaimed animal advocacy groups ignore the word vegan and tell us more and more to go vegetarian. Does it have anything to do with their close personal relationships with the industries of animal abuse? Farm, in its arrogance, Farm USA, organizes a so-called animal rights conference that enables betrayal. The same Humane Society of the United States with the pig farmer vice president that offers us a dollar off coupon on packages of bacon and is actively involved with the egg sales and purchases. Yes, that's HSUS's business. HSUS is regarded by Farm as animal rights royalty, putting its propagandists on panels named The Future of Animal Rights. Farm also elevates the sphere of HSUS groupie groups to levels of highest esteem at its so-called AR Animal Rights Conference, or ARCon. Such as Mercy for Animals, a Tyson's cheerleader in the hot pockets of Nestle's, Farm Sanctuary, Compassion Over Killing, you know, all of whom partnered with the egg industry. All support horrific battery cages and oppressive legislation. Meat Out Mondays or Meatless Mondays, when we are told, do the right thing just one day a week and don't worry about the violence, disease, and destruction of the planet you cause the other 6 days. And come to think of it, we're not even telling you to do the right thing that one day a week. It's not vegan Mondays, huh? We went for alliteration, so Meatless Mondays. Vegan Viernes. It's Dairy and Egg Monday, and Meat Out will be, you know, Dairy and Egg Meat Out Day. Farm will argue, and it's right there in its new facelift graphics that it is promoting eating vegan in its Meat Out campaign. But when you look at that campaign, Farm asks that you just eat 3 vegan meals on one day of the year. It says 3 meals, 3 reasons, 1 day. I don't even know what the reasons are, but presumably animals, health, and environment? I don't know. 3 meals, 3 reasons, 1 day. Is that effective use of an advocate's time? 3 meals a year, 1 day? At least with Meatless Mondays, you know, however flawed, people are asked to take some sort of action 52 days a year out of 365, with Meat Out, 1 day. Where is the sense of urgency here? You know, I mean, like, isn't this important to us to go vegan and stop the suffering and massacre of animals and save the planet, huh? 30 years ago, when Meat Out started, you know, we didn't have the scientific information about how going vegan is the only way to save the world from climate change. I don't think 30 years ago we knew anything about climate change. But times have changed. I'll admit, some years back, I worked with Farm as its media coordinator for Meat Out. I managed to get Casey Kasem on Fox News and Mary Tyler Moore on The View. I interviewed Ed Asner on this very radio program. It was interesting interviewing Ed Asner, who was an activist, and he was not yet vegan himself. So I said to Ed, what's your cause? What really interests you? And Ed was so against the death penalty. And I said, Ed, you eat chickens, maybe, you know, one day of the year you don't. What crime did they commit to have to suffer the death penalty? All the animals whom we eat suffer the death penalty. They're harmless. They're innocent. I don't know. The message of Meat Out may have been appropriate then, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, but it is outdated now. And so it is time for a new beginning, and we put our hope in the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming to the Marina del Rey Marriott. It will be March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Check out the speakers, the activities, the menu, and you can register there. A couple of people who will be at the event, Donna DeLore, a musical performer, will be up on the show today, and Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs, as well as Gary Francione next hour. All of us going to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there is a Facebook page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, World Vegan Summit and Expo 2015. And there is the website where you register, and that is worldvegansummit.com. An amazing roster of speakers, just a couple of environmental specialists just joining us to have the subject of water, the urgency of going vegan for water conservation, and really, going vegan is the only way to save the planet. And World Bank scientists, climate specialists, are telling us that we need a 50 to 85% shift from eating so-called livestock products to eating vegan by 2020, or 1,700 U.S. cities face submersion in the not-too-distant future. And so I just don't think that Meat Out cuts it. No, three meals a year going vegan? I don't think that's going to do it. We need a 50 to 85% shift. We need, you know, like every meal to go vegan. So it's out with meat out, in with vegan in, and, you know, come on over to the World Vegan Summit and Expo so we can strategize to help everyone go vegan, to help your family's health, and help the planet. And the poor, innocent animals who suffer the death penalty for no reason, you know, just because they taste good. Actually, they don't taste good. It's the sauce on them that tastes good. But anyway, we will have a great weekend of vegan meals there. And, you know, you have no excuse not to go vegan, really. Wherever you are in the USA, you can have vegan meals delivered right to your door from greenlightmeals.com. GreenLITEmeals.com. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, smoothies, foods the kids will love. And you have weight loss consultation and nutritional consultation available. Go to greenlightmeals.com. GreenLITEmeals.com. Yes, and this is all good for your health. We have dietitians. We have people coming from all over the world, specialists on health and ethics and environment, and you know how you can have your dog can be a healthy vegan. Vegan dogs and cats, and helping your children go vegan. And now news from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine that a plant-based diet boosts, or they say a plant-based diet. Excuse me, plant-based diet means vegan for the in the translation. So they're telling us that a vegan diet boosts physical health and emotional well-being. That according to a new study conducted at Geico employees workplace wellness program. It was an 18-week vegan dietary intervention program that was shown to boost employee productivity while alleviating symptoms of anxiety, depression, and fatigue. That's according to the study, which was published in the March-April issue of the American Journal of Health Promotion. Researchers with PCRM placed Geico employees with a BMI, body mass index, of 25 or above, or who were previously diagnosed with type 2 diabetes on a low-fat, low-glycemic, high-fiber vegan diet. Study participants experienced overall productivity and measurable improvements in anxiety, depression, fatigue, and general health, according to the 36-item short-form health survey that they completed. Participants also lost an average of 10 pounds, lowered LDL cholesterol by 13 points, and improved blood sugar control if they had type 2 diabetes. Healthful vegan options, including vegetable hummus sandwiches, seasonal leafy green salads, and black bean chili, were available in employee cafeterias. And because the four-month menu featured a variety of fruits and vegetables, it was rich in vitamins and minerals that the employees probably haven't had in years. You know, the study participants favored healthful carbohydrates, including brown rice, steel-cut oats, and rye bread, which PCRM tells us help regulate serotonin levels in the brain. Serotonin helps control mood. Weekly lunch and learn sessions happened, and so it was an overall success. So, it works. Come on out to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Join us. Register now. It's just 3 weeks away. And we have a wonderful menu that Geico employees would like, too. it would be good for them, too. Come on out. No anxiety, no depression. We'll have a good time. Great music from Donna DeLore, who's coming up later in the program. We'll be right back. continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, at a couple of extraneous Bob Linden Facebook pages to keep you chasing me around the book of faces. And please do register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It is merely the most important event ever in Southern California, because we're there to save the world, save the billions of animals, save your children's health. And it is a gathering of true heroes. And one of those heroes is my next guest. Keith McHenry is one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. You vegans, you care more about animals than people, right? Well, this is an organization that feeds vegan food to the homeless, not like the ones that feed, animal carcasses and secretions, things to make the homeless sick. And, so here we have an organization that feeds vegan food to the homeless, but does not give them bombs. Perhaps if he did give them bombs, he wouldn't be arrested so much, but, no good deed goes unpunished. Right now, Keith McHenry is at the at this very moment, he's hanging out at the Food Not Bombs Really, Really Free Market. Oh, the free market system, huh? Keith McHenry, how are you today?
Thanks, Bob. It's been what an incredible day. We have, amazing music. We so many people have been coming by. We had a huge amount of donations to give away. We had, and of course, we had endless vegan food to share with people, and it's just been fantastic. A really beautiful day, at the downtown post office in Santa Cruz, California.
Terrific. Okay. Well, tell us a bit about how Food Not Bombs came into existence, about 30 years ago now, Keith?
It'd be 35 years ago, this May 24th.
Wow.
And how it started was, there are three short stories about it. The first was, I was a produce worker at an organic grocery store called Bread and Circus, and I was end up throwing away a lot of beautiful produce and felt terrible about it, so I take it to the projects nearby. It turned out one day when I'm handing out all this produce, I asked them about the building across the street that was being built, brand new glass tower. They said, oh, that's where they designed nuclear bombs. It turned out it was Draper Lab, and so this is where we got the name Food Not Bombs, because you had four people on one side of the street, and people designing bombs, actually guidance system for nuclear missiles on the other side. And then the second thing was, a friend of ours was arrested on May 24th, which is why we mark our anniversary to that day. And the eight of us that started Food Not Bombs were got together to defend our friend Brian Fiegenbaum, who was facing felony charges for this protest. And we started doing bake sales to raise money, and we had no success in raising money by doing that. So what we decided to do, totally by accident, is after we moved a family who had a poster that said, wouldn't it be a beautiful day if the schools had all the money they needed and the Air Force had to hold a bake sale to buy a bomber, we decided that we would dress up as soldiers. So we went down to the Army-Navy surplus store, got some military uniforms, and then went out with that poster and told people we were trying to buy a bomber with our baked goods. That became the street theater part of Food Not Bombs. And then the next thing after that was that we decided we would dress up as hobos, make a huge pot of soup out of the food that we were throwing away from Bread and Circus, and, just take some of it aside that we weren't taking to the projects, and we would have a soup line outside the stockholders' meeting of the Bank of Boston, and we had learned that the Bank of Boston's board of directors were basically also on the board of the company building Seabrook Nuclear Power Station. They were on the board of Lockheed Martin. They were on all these boards, and they were lending basically the depositors' money to these nuclear projects and other crazy projects without any public oversight. So we thought, wow, that's a lot like the Great Depression. Let's do a soup line. And then that night, we realized we had this huge amount of vegan stew and maybe eight or nine of us coming to eat. And so I went to the Pine Street Inn, gave a little speech to the guys down there at midnight, and the next day about 50 to maybe 75 people from the inn showed up. and it became this amazing party with both people from the inn and people coming out of South Station in Boston, the people going into the stockholders meeting, and it was just so beautiful. That was March 26th of 1981, and it was from then on we decided we'd just do nothing but that, and that's how it got started.
Well, that is amazing. Wouldn't it be great if our priorities, if our main export were food, not bombs, what a different world it would be. I mean,
absolutely.
Really, what horrible priorities.
Yeah, I went to the first and second vegan conference in Ethiopia, and you know, I learned a lot. You know, that's the Nile River, the Blue Nile, goes through Ethiopia. They export tons and tons of food, yet they have they're facing 2 million people are facing starvation. So there's more than enough wonderful produce, teff, everything you would need to feed all those 2 million people. But it's actually shipped by plane. It's a landlocked country. To Saudi Arabia, to Bahrain, to Europe, and so that, and this is very common. You see around the world, wonderful food being shipped out of countries and leaving the people behind to go hungry.
Leaving the people behind, and also around the world, the clear cutting of forests to graze animals for food or to grow a GMO soy for animals, and displacing people from the lands and causing poverty and hunger. And so we're talking to Keith McHenry, who's one of the founders of Food Not Bombs. He and fellow Food Not Bombs activist Abby Samuels will be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Really, this is really necessary that we get together and talk about how going vegan is the solution to so many of our problems. How and why is the food that Food Not Bombs serves vegan, Keith?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because when we started, we knew it was an important issue. But today, it's probably the single most important issue facing humanity and the world and all the species and the plants and everything because of its relationship to particularly climate change. But when we started, I started because originally I had bought 50 fertilized eggs unsexed from burpees when I was like 16. And I hatched them under my bed with a lamp. And then I ended up with 25 hens and 25 roosters. And once the roosters got really huge, my dad said, oh, look, we can't just feed roosters. You know, they don't lay eggs. We need to start killing them. So one night he showed me how to kill them in a kosher manner, hanging them upside down off this limb on a tree outside of our place in Cape Cod. And I killed 7 roosters, and all the hens, who looked like they're being ravaged by the roosters, they were so upset. The cats were upset. We had a bunch of goats, Toggenburg goats. They were freaked out. It was like a Hitchcock movie. And from that point on, I just could not eat meat. So from that was how I started. So when I came to Food Not Bombs, when I was 22 years old, I had been already a vegan for all those years. And similar stories, you know, were the reason that the other 7 Food Not Bombs co-founders were vegan at the time we started. So then we realized, well, there's a really, if we're going to be for peace against nuclear war, against war, against violence, against women, violence, in general, then we should be violent against violence, you know, promote that idea of nonviolence by being vegan. So that was one of the ideas. The other ideas, we were influenced by Francis Moore LePage's Diet for a Small Planet, and we really felt that if you're going to end world hunger, it would be important to have a plant-based diet because, you know, there's all kinds of statistics about the amount of water and land resources that are used to grow grain to feed cattle and pigs and horses and all the domesticated animals compared to if you just ate that food directly yourself and how much water would be saved, how many more people could be fed per acre of land and so on. And so that was another issue that we decided that we would promote. We had a family of puppies, and we obviously weren't going to be eating our puppy companions, and we really treated them as equal part of the collective in many ways. They were like instrumental in our going for a walk every morning and coming up with the ideas that became Food Not Bombs. And then the other thing that that we realized was if you were going to not have the resources to have refrigeration, steam tables, all that kind of stuff, the one way to safely feed as many people as possible healthy, organic food was to just keep it vegan. And so all those things came together right at the very beginning. And as the 35 years have progressed, all those same core values have become ever increasingly more and more important, to us. And one of the other things that we have a nonviolent statement that we published in 1992 and reconfirmed in a world gathering we had in San Francisco in 95. And we talk about the violence of poverty, but also the violence to oneself by eating meat and dairy. And it's a violent assault against the well-being of your individual self to be eating basically this toxic poison food. So, it's a full spectrum of reasons, and it goes to the whole full spectrum of ideas that Food Not Bombs works on against coercion, violence, exploitation, and the things that are causing the poverty and the commodification of humans, the commodification of our earth, and the commodification of the animal world. So, it goes with our whole philosophy that everything is connected, and that the personal and the global are all, tied together.
All connected, right. We need to take a break. We have a few minutes left to talk with Keith McHenry coming up. Yes, he will be a speaker. He, along with fellow activist Abby Samuels, representing Food Not Bombs at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, on Facebook. Please register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. 3 weekends from now, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, we will not only be eating organic food, we will be eating veganic food, a step above. A lot of our food there will be veganic with no animal products in the growing process. And today we're talking to Keith McHenry. In an age when animal activism seems to be promoting, cage-free, free-range, grass-fed, pasture-raised, animal products, Meat Out Mondays, Keith McHenry is setting an example, a great example of what heroic activism is, feeding vegan food to the homeless. I would suggest that over everything all of these other groups are suggesting. Although, Keith, no good deed goes unpunished. How many times have you been arrested, and where are we now with communities trying to set laws against what you do, the noble work that you do?
Well, there are 71 cities in the United States and one city in Belarus that are either banning or limiting the sharing of free food or attempting to pass laws. Los Angeles being the largest city in the United States that is has a law that they're proposing to ban the sharing of free food outside. So I was arrested 94 times in San Francisco, starting on August 15th, 1988, ending June of 97. And I did a total of 2 years. I was faced 25 to life in prison. I was the first Californian, white Californian, to face the three strikes law. And I was also jailed amongst, there's a total of 1,000 arrests of volunteers in San Francisco. It then spread all over California during the 80s and 90s that groups would be arrested, including in L.A. There was a small group of people arrested at Pershing Square at one point. And then Florida started taking up the anti-homeless, anti-food laws. And so Tampa, there was a number of arrests there. And then eventually there was a major case in Orlando where 24 people were arrested, and I did 18 days there. And then now we're facing arrests in Fort Lauderdale. And there's been a little break because there's been some lawsuits in the Fort Lauderdale case. But there's a whole concoction of laws against sharing free food in public. And sometimes it's actually, there's an interesting situation where I saw a lecture by some State Department officials at the Fletcher School of Diplomacy in Medford, Massachusetts on C-SPAN. And they called us, they compared the vegan meals in the park to Al-Qaeda. Who's more dangerous? And their conclusion was that the vegan meals were more dangerous because they were convincing the American public that money should be diverted from military spending towards health care, education, infrastructure, things that people really needed, and therefore there wouldn't be enough money to fund the military to fight groups like Al-Qaeda. And I thought it was interesting. They refused to use the name Food Not Bombs, but they did use, refer to us as vegan, as sharing vegan meals in the park. And you could see that a lot of times the term vegan is really, considered by the authorities to be derogatory, and so they try to make a point of that. We had some people in Southern California who were arrested as terrorists, and they said that we were anarcho-vegans, and that's why they knew we were terrorists, and so on, and so there became a whole big crisis with that. Fortunately, the young man was not involved in anything other than being vegan, and was let go, and he actually won a lawsuit. But that's been a real problem, and it keeps happening over and over again. But, it seems like every time they harass us, we just grow stronger. And it's influenced people to start Food Not Bombs. I just was recently in the Philippines. There's like 30 groups around Manila. There's groups in over 100 cities in Indonesia. There's groups, I just ran into some people doing it in Burma and in Kathmandu. So it's becoming really, really widespread.
And how can people reach you, aside from seeing you at the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up at March 20th, 21st, and 22nd? What's the website or Facebook page?
The website is foodnotbombs.net. There's also, if you do, there's Food Not Bombs. There's several Facebook, a lot of Facebooks under Food Not Bombs. That's
okay, we'll check it out. We're out of time now, but we will see you shortly at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Greetings once again, and welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We are broadcasting now for 14 years, and we are syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. Heard live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. And on Twitter, we're at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Our thanks for support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo from Nature's Flavors. Go to Nature's Flavors.com. See what Nature's Flavors can add to your cooking to your kitchen, whether you're a professional chef or amateur, Nature's Flavors can really bring out the flavor. You can order online. Nature's Flavors giving us Birdie and Bill's natural sodas, sugar-free. And in the morning at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, maybe all day, we'll be drinking Select Organic Coffee and Select Tea. That's S-E-E-L-E-C-T. Go to that website, order online, and see the great variety of teas and coffees available that you can order now. So it's going to be a great time at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Check out that menu at worldvegansummit.com. And we are going to be enjoying, we are honored that we will be enjoying the music of Donna DeLore at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And we have Donna DeLore coming up right after. Donna DeLore here now. Beings be happy and free. How appropriate for our event. Donna DeLore has been the backing vocalist and dancer for Madonna from the Who's That Girl tour in 1987 to the Confessions tour in 2006. She is a stellar solo performer with a number of albums released, the debut album in 1992. So welcome to the program. How are you, Donna?
I'm great. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, making sure. Yeah. I just ran in from. I went down to the Malibu Farmers Market, and I was hanging out with my kids, and the rain just came down so hard, so we were kind of stranded for a little bit. And I just ran in to get the phone call from you guys that we were ready to go on air. So I'm doing great.
Good timing.
Exactly. Perfect timing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm doing great. Now I'm having my mung bean sprouts with some brewer's yeast on it, and it's really good, and some reishi tea with coconut milk right now.
Terrific. Okay, really wonderful.
And I look forward to all that wonderful food at your event.
Yes, it's a very, very special time and a special occasion. We want to focus our vegan advocacy and really, you know, it's time. You know, the environmental scientists are telling us it's the only way to save the world from climate change. It's mm-hmm. the only way to save our children from heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, and the only way to save the billions of innocent animals whom we want to be happy and free. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So people listening will say, wow, you were the backup vocalist for Madonna. How did you get that job? Not that I'm looking for another job myself right now, but how did you become her backup vocalist for 20 years?
Yeah, I sang, this is really interesting, I did the demo for this song called Open Your Heart, that was a song, a big hit by Madonna, and it kind of, you know the song, it goes, open your heart to me, baby, I hold the lock and you hold the key. So anyway, I did that demo, and then her producer, Pat Leonard, heard that, and she ended up recording the song, which was great, you know, big hit, and my friends were the songwriters, so they were very happy. And the producer, Pat Leonard, loved my voice from that demo. So he called me in to do a lot of work on a lot of albums he was producing. And then I found out that he was working on the tour, Madonna's tour, and I had heard her records. And, you know, I knew from singing along with her records that my voice blended really well with hers. And even my roommates would walked in when her record first came out and said, this sounds like you. So I knew I'd be perfect for it, so I tried to get him to get me an audition, and they had already hired some girls. Well, one of the girls, last minute, they were already into production rehearsals. One of the girls didn't work out, so they ended up desperately needing somebody, and I was around, so I went to a really big audition. I met her and sang with her, and our voices, yes, it's true, they did blend perfectly, and I got the job. I also really got the job because I was a dancer, so mm-hmm. I could dance a lot and perform, and got to wear all kinds of fun costumes and work with, you know, someone who's a, you know, very empowered woman. So that was a great, all those years working with her was a great example. She was a great example for me of someone who just really goes after their dreams and doesn't let their fear, you know, all kinds of things, doesn't let their fears get in their way and just go after it and focus and hardworking, you know, a great example of someone who works hard and you can manifest a lot. So it was great for me in that time. I decided I wanted to be an artist and I started kind of finding my own way, which took a while because I started in dance music and first I wanted to be in a band and then that didn't really work out. I wanted to be like one of the girl singers in a band, like Fleetwood Mac kind of thing. And then I decided, you know, okay, I want to be a solo artist. I was working with a lot of different producers on dance music and then got a record deal, MCA Universal, in the 90s. And in between Madonna tours, I was out doing my own records and promoting. So even when I went on those tours, on my nights off, I would go and do shows and go do, I'd get up at, you know, 5 in the morning to go do a radio interview. And Madonna was so funny. She was like, she used to say, if you want to work that hard, that's your choice. Yeah. It's like, well, I got to take advantage of this opportunity. I'm out in the world, and I want to have my own career.
Sure. Uh-huh. So, and you know, but you come from a musical family, though. I mean, so yeah, you had an early start.
Yeah, I grew up in music, and my dad was a producer, and I just was so fortunate to be able to literally like sleep under studio consoles and pianos and studios and be around musicians all the time, and I got to, the most important thing is that you have a parent that really loves what they do and that you just, you admire that, you know, and they set a great example for you. And I also loved music and that was just a really, music was a great tool for me as well to really connect in with my soul. And I knew that at a young age. I started singing professionally when I was 8 years old and I did a lot of jobs. By the time I was 16, I had done movies, sang on movies and all kinds of commercials, TV shows, all kinds of things. And I was doing demos for my dad and wanting to be an artist, I think, when I was 16. So I, you know, I always kind of dabbled in different kinds of music. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee when I was 16. And I actually, that's where I started like eating, you know, more. I started eating tofu and eating. I remember the first, my friend who had a garden, I ate food out of a garden for the first time. I mean, growing up, we grew strawberries and things like that. But this experience of, you wouldn't think Nashville, Tennessee, but it was really, there was a whole movement there going on.
Really you wouldn't think that. I really wouldn't think
that.
Nashville tofu. They just didn't come to mind.
It was awesome. I mean, it's where I had my first tofu cheesecake, and yeah, it was awesome. So I got on this whole path, back in Nashville when I was 16, and then ended up moving back to LA after that and trying to break in, you know, as an adult, trying to break into music and trying to find my way. And I found my way through that whole Madonna experience and making my own music, and then staying on my own spiritual path, you know, staying with my studies that I would just take my books around. When I was on those tours, I had my books that I read, and I was inspired from those teachings, more Eastern teachings, to certain kind of, and the teachings of Joseph Campbell. I loved mythology. I loved Krishnamurti and Yogananda, and that inspired me to do more, you know, songs that were inspired by those philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
And then along came yoga, and you know, I was doing yoga when I was really young, and there weren't that many studios in LA teaching yoga. I mean, you had to go far. I mean, people don't understand. It was like very obscure, you know, and that was always like my saving grace and my center, to go to the yoga center and take classes and connect with my community. And then later on got back into it years later, and inspired by the Sanskrit words and the mantras, started making more mantra-based music.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like I'm like really cool. I'm really combining my singer-songwriter with the mantra.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Donna DeLore. She will be performing Saturday, March 21st at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. Of Donna DeLore.
Shanti, 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 shanti.
There you go. Don't get me singing, although, you know, hey, maybe we match up and we'll go tour for 20 years like you did with Madonna. So
yeah, right? That's the mantra for everyone when they're driving. Shanti, 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 shanti.
Yeah. So your music has connected with the yoga community. That's seems to resonate.
Yoga, meditation, healing, all the healing arts. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, from people to, I have family members that get massages, and mm-hmm. somebody will play some of my music and say, I love her so much. And all kinds of ways. Yeah, I mean, I've been putting my own records out since 2000 on my own label. And the music's gotten out there. I'm really happy about it. And as an artist, I'm satisfied in a lot of ways that I could create this music and it could get out there to so many people.
Mm, that's great. In this day and age of, you know, the music business is so totally different from the way it was years ago with record companies and promotion and all, the fact that you can get it out there and noticed is remarkable. So it must be a testament to your talent.
Yeah.
Donna DeLore. The website is donnadelore.com, and on Facebook, Donna DeLore. So, you're looking forward to the World Vegan Summit and Expo, this great vegan event.
Absolutely.
It's a healing event.
Yeah, absolutely. And the spelling, just so we can spell for everyone, it's DonnaDeLore .com. And you can listen to, I have a new CD. It's not CD yet, but it's a digital album that's out on iTunes that are remixes. So it's kind of like devotional electronica out right now, called Universal Light. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really, I wanted to make that record because it really captures more of what I do live, which is very celebratory, and people are dancing and moving and singing at the same time. And it's just a real uplifting, unifying experience. And I love to to bring that and to provide that for people.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to it. It will be Saturday, March 21st, at around 5:30 or 6 o'clock. You'll go on till about 7-ish. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're really very much looking forward to your performance. It will be with a full band.
Yes, yes, yes. It'll be great. Yeah, I have this really amazing drummer that I'm going to be working with that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to be, yeah, it's great. I love to play music, so
mm-hmm. right,
especially when it's in my hometown.
Right, nearby, very convenient for you. You're
exactly.
over in Topanga, and here we are in Marina Del Rey, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Go to
Yay.
worldvegansummit.com, and you're out there, you know, kind of a progressive area. I was just visiting the Muse School out there that's becoming a vegan school, right? So
yeah, they are. By next year, I mean, they've been working their way towards that for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been all organic and it's all sustainable. They have their own gardens. It is the most beautiful thing to see the kids out. It's all grass areas. So there's not really, the playground is the grassy area, which is all these oaks are around and the gardens are right next to the grass. And you see these kids just grazing on kale and bok choy and all kinds of things. They just pick it and just, you see them eating it. It's incredible. And so many people are trying to get their kids to eat veggies.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the kids, like, in between running around going on the swings, they're grabbing a piece of kale.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
well,
it's amazing. I really just, you know, I hope, I give my children this foundation, and I hope that they, you know, carry it when they are growing up and making their own choices, that they really, you know, they have this as a foundation. So that's what's important to me.
Sure, yeah. And, well, I guess you're lucky your father wasn't a plumber, huh? So it all kind
exactly.
of...
Exactly. I'm so lucky. I'm reminded of it every day. And I, you know, I feel honored that I got to have a father that was, you know, so supportive of me and such a great example of being an artist. And I played piano more since my dad had passed. He was a piano player.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about sometimes somebody... You know, you carry on, obviously, their legacy for your parents and your friends, and it's a beautiful thing.
He played on the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, didn't he? Was that?
Yeah. Yeah. So many times I'm in stores, and I say to my kids, that's Poppy. That's
wow. Amazing. Okay. Well, Donna, we're out of time, but we will see you on Saturday, March 21st at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay.
See you then. Okay. Donna DeLore, DonnaDeLore.com. See her on Facebook. See her at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now. Performance at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Saturday, March 21st, Donna DeLore and band. We have so many talented vegans in the world, she being one of them, and talented vegans now, Professor Gary Francione, Professor Anna Charlton, the co-authors of Eat Like You Care, an examination of the morality of eating animals. We will examine that morality or immorality at the World Vegan Summit and Expo with an introduction to the abolitionist approach. That being on Saturday morning. And then we have vegan, grassroots vegan activist workshops Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Be there or be square. And you can register now at worldvegansummit.com. And please join us. And how are you tonight, Professors Francione and Charlton?
Very well, Bob. And how are you?
Doing fine. I already ranted and raved and complained about something about, well, I complained about Meat Out, you know. I'm looking at the graphics from, you know, the Meat Out, which has been around 30 years, and I think it's, you know, it's over. I mean, they're basically promoting three meals, three reasons, one day. I don't think that's enough. I'm sorry to say. Yeah,
this is one of the reasons that I've been so excited to watch you putting this event together, Bob, the World Vegan Summit. And I hope that people are going to realize that time is going on. It's coming up very shortly and will attend if they can, because this is not something that will necessarily happen next year or in the future. It's a big deal to put this together if you're not one of the established groups. But because it's going to be something very different, I think it's going to be valuable for people, and something very different from Meat Out and the events like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob, you know, I've had a number of people say to me, well, you know, I'd really like to go, but maybe I'll go next year. And we've said to them, there isn't
yeah, there's no guarantee, you know. I mean, I'm trying to maintain my sanity through March 22nd, but yeah.
I said this is going to continue on a yearly basis, only if Bob Linden organizes it from the insane asylum. Well, do this every year. No, this is an important event.
And we should make that point, because many people are debating. They're saying, well, you know, I'd like to be there, but maybe I'll wait for the second one. And there's no guarantee that there's going to be a second one. You know, this is it right now, as we see.
I mean, I hope that there will be future ones. But, you know, that doesn't mean there's one next year or there's one ever. But even if there are ones in the future, you know, they may not be on a yearly basis, because, as Anna just pointed out, you know, these things are a lot of work, and these animal organizations that put these things on, they have staffs of people who do these things. This is what they do. They get paid a salary to organize events.
I should thank Julie Curran Meskel and Ben Brahman, who are two volunteers who are, you know, I don't know where I'd be right now without them. I mean, they're major contributors to this. So
that's wonderful.
That's wonderful, Bob, and I'm glad that they're helping you. You know, we had a wonderful time on Friday night. We Anna and I did a presentation in Princeton. That was introduced by Chris Hedges, the very progressive and I think brilliant columnist, former correspondent for the New York Times, and his.
I'm a big fan of his, definitely.
And he and his partner Eunice Wong were there for the event and introduced it, and I spoke to them afterward and said that you would very much like to have them on your show, and Chris has got a very very heavy schedule coming up in the next couple of weeks, but they said that they will do it in the future, and
terrific.
They're looking forward to it. But it was a wonderful event, and you know it was held at Yoga Stream, which is the yoga studio of a very talented woman named Lara Hyman, and she is a vegan. The Yoga Stream is a vegan space. And they have, you know, everything's vegan there. And they, in addition to doing yoga and teaching yoga, they teach all about veganism. And it's really inspiring to see a business like that, you know, to see somebody doing something like that where they're, you know, where they're really putting the things together and they're putting the health aspects together, but very, very strongly with the moral and you know, and I guess you could call spiritual aspects of it, and focusing on the whole nonviolent thing. It was really wonderful. It was a great experience, and I just wanted to give you a piece of news. We have just adopted another non-human child, someone who was left outside of a shelter in Newark, New Jersey, on the night. We had a night, Bob, maybe 10 days ago? About 10 days ago.
It was 3 degrees Fahrenheit.
Went down to 3 degrees. Now, you in California are not familiar with that. Of course, we didn't have any earthquakes here, but it was a 3-degree evening. And somebody left two dogs outside of Associated Humane in Newark, New Jersey. One of them died, and the one who survived is now living with us. And although she has been in the house only 4 days now, 5 days, she has become a member of the family, and everyone is playing with her, and we have nothing, Bob, but chaos in this house. But okay. In any event, we wanted to talk a little bit, and I would encourage everybody out there, you know, people always say, what can I do to help animals today? As a matter of fact, that's the usual thing that you hear, you know, when people are talking about rights versus welfare. They say, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but what can I do to help animals now, today? And the thing is, animal welfare is not going to help them now, today, for lots of reasons, and indeed won't help them ever. It will only push things backward. But one thing we can all do right now, today, we don't need anything, you know, apart from going vegan. You know, going vegan doesn't require, you know, you don't need anything except willpower and a desire to stop beating up on vulnerable animals. That's all you need to go vegan. And what you can do today is adopt a homeless animal. There are zillions of them who need you, and you can say, well, you know, but I can only, you know, how's it going to change things if I only adopt one? And the answer is, for that one that you adopt, you entirely change the universe. And so I would, you know, we are big fans of, as our non-human family attests to, we're big fans of adopting animals, fostering animals. I think that's also very important, fostering animals. You know, it's an extremely, extremely important thing because you get them out of the, you know, out of the chute heading towards death, and you help them get a home. So it's marvelous, and I really commend those people who do foster work, because I think it's very difficult. You take an animal into your house, and you know, the animal's there for a while, and you get attached to him or her, and then, you know, that non-human person goes off to another home. And although you're happy when that happens, it's sad. And so,
I worked at a dog sanctuary for a while and had those same mixed emotions. I mean, I just really, yeah, it's like I miss them so much, but I'm happy that they have a new family and people who love him or her.
Yeah. And we tried it once, Bob. We tried it once. We were foster failures in the matter of 15 minutes.
That is difficult. And I've been adopted by a 7-pound chihuahua who basically controls my life, Daisy. So she is.
You only have one dog, Bob.
Yes. Yes. And let's say Daisy only has one human.
Okay, so. All right, well, we're out there in California, maybe we'll take a drive to the local shelter and we'll get Daisy a friend.
Well, there are two other dogs in the house, but they are with my roommate generally. Daisy has claimed me.
Okay,
so.
Now, see, you can hear the playing that is going on 24 hours a day, and it's actually a lot of fun. But one of the things we're going to do at the Vegan Summit, Bob, is we're going to use those two activist workshops. The goal of those activist workshops is to teach vegans how to teach about veganism. And, you know, that's really, I mean, I see that as really one of the main, this is not going to be a conference like other conferences where people come and listen to canned speeches, which are vacuous, you know, that, and there's nothing but back slapping and foolishness. This is going to be a series of teach-ins. And, you know, just looking at that schedule, and I know what you've got planned, you know, it's going to be a bunch of teach-ins. And that's what we really want to do. Use this as, it'll be fun, and I'm sure that I hope that people will really enjoy themselves, but this is not a party. This is an educational event where we hope that we're going to people about why veganism is a moral imperative, why, if animals matter morally, veganism is the only coherent response, and how to teach others about veganism, because that's a big problem. You know, I mean, indeed, on Friday night, you know, people were saying, well, you know, what do you say when somebody says, well, but, you know, humans are at the top of the food chain? And, you know, and other people saying, you know, what do you say when people say that, you know, they knew somebody who was on a vegan diet and got ill? You know, and there are responses to those things, and they're not terribly complex responses. You just need to sort of think, you know, you need to learn how to respond to those things, because really those are the things that people focus on to not go vegan. And if you can dispel them, that's not to say that they will go vegan. It is to guarantee, however, that you will provoke them into thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we need to take a break. We will continue with Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton, who will be main speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now. Well, wait till we're done. 10 minutes. Register in 10 minutes at worldvegansummit.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and register at WorldVeganSummit.com. There's also a Facebook page for it, World Vegan Summit and Expo 2015. And don't debate with yourself. Don't say, I'll wait for the second annual or third annual. You know, like, there may be one annual, and it may be the one 3 weeks from now.
Somebody made the comment to me. I don't know if they picked it up from you, if you said it on the show, but somebody said, this conference is going to be like Woodstock. It'll be the one time thing.
Well, I did say it. I was at Woodstock, and, you know, there's a certain magic. You know, Woodstock 2 didn't cut it, you know, but the Woodstock did. And, you know, the first World Fest vegan festival I did in Los Angeles. I mean, you know, there's something magical when so many really caring, noble, heroic people get together. And that's, what can I say about, you know, vegans and people who promote veganism? You know, they are the true heroes of the world. I mean, it's a fact. What can I say? So many of them, I won't include myself, even though I was given the Shining World Hero Award from the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association. I said, why me? Why? You know, it's like, wow, you promote veganism. Well, what is more noble than that, really? You know?
Well, one thing that I hope that we're able to do during the activist workshops that are planned is really give people some tools, because we've joked before that there's a couple of dozen stock responses you can anticipate getting when you talk about veganism. So it's useful to have thought through your response for the next time you get one of those questions. And that doesn't become a rote response or an all sort of automaton response. It's just a matter of gathering your thoughts and choosing what you think would be an effective response. So we're going to go through some of those questions and answers and let people practice. Ask us questions, see what we think is effective, how they can modify it for their own style and circumstances. And I think that sort of energy will be something that people can take away, and I hope it will make their interactions with people more effective. Because, you know, we all rehearse in our minds when we're going to a job interview or a presentation what we're going to say for an important event. And your interactions on vegan issues are important events. It may be the one time that someone gets a really good presentation on the issue. So everyone should have confidence and arm themselves with some good ammunition, and I think we're going to have a fun and productive time doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are you looking forward to it, Bob?
Absolutely, definitely. I think it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it being here, so I'm already done with everything I still have to do over the next 3 weeks. But and I'm going to go down to LA this week for logistics planning and the Natural Products Expo to see who might be there, who wants to join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. So of course I am. I mean, this is my cause. This is my reason for living, apparently. I never could have imagined that. You know, I thought I was making a quiet little personal decision decades ago that I would never even explain to people. And now it's I can't shout about it enough, you know. So
But again, I want to emphasize to people what Anna's been saying, what you're saying. This is perhaps, we don't know, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But as far as things go right now, this is a one-off thing. So people, get registering. After this show is over, get on the website, register, come. And I promise you it's going to be not only a lot of fun, but I'm hoping that what it's going to be is 3 days of top flight education, and we'll send you away. You know, if you really care about this issue, we'll send you away prepared to start discussing it with people in a far more intelligent and effective way than you've been doing before. And for a lot of people who find this very difficult to talk about because they really wanted to, you know, debate and discuss things about veganism with people, but they don't know how to do it. Well, we're going to deal with that.
Wow. That's perfect. And for people who really, really can't make it there, if they want to help us finance this, they can make tax-deductible donations at goveganradio.com. But we'd rather see you there. Come on out. Join us. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. We will talk again next week. Professor Francione, Professor Charlton, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Bob.
See you in 3 weeks. And we hope to see you there, too. World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now, worldvegansummit.com.